Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's time for the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, April 16th, 2018. What's going on? How
are ya?
How's it going, man? Dude, you're on the other side of it, huh? You paid your taxes. You know? Hey, take more than I make. Who the fuck am I? I just did the fucking job. Let me give it to you, you rich cunt. What are you gonna spend it on, you haberdash and douchebag? That's what really gets my freckled fucking goat about paying taxes. I got no problem giving these fucking douchebags the money. I get it. Being a citizen of a country, it's like having a membership. All right? You want those fucking potholes filled? Yeah, you want pens and pencils down at the fucking school? You want the red light and then the green light and then the light bulbs changed? You got to pay your fucking taxes. So I don't have a problem with it. The problem I have, though, is when they get more than I get, and I did the fucking job. How did you make more off my gig than I did? And I was the guy up there fucking, you know, dancing around. You know, going down to one knee in the end like fucking Elvis. As I'm wrapping up singing, His Truth Is Marching On. I don't get that part. I mean, I do get it. I do understand that, you know, we have a lot of expenses in this country. We got a lot of expenses. You know what I mean? We got a 15-year road trip that we're still paying for, right? Going on 16 years, a 16-year fucking road trip. I'll tell you what freaked me out. I did the Rough and Rowdy, which was the fucking one of the great experiences I've had since getting into the business of show. But in the middle of it, Dan Big Cat Katz looked at me and said, "We just bombed Syria." And my first thought was not like, "Oh my God, we're at war," because that's been the natural state for the better part of two fucking decades. My first fucking thought was, how the fuck are we going to afford that? We're going to start another war? And how are we going to pay for this, right? This is like when you're watching your friend at the blackjack table going, "Dude, you got rent to pay. Come on, it's over. Cards are cold." Let's go back to the room there. You know, someday you want to buy a house. But fortunately, I guess we didn't start a war. This was more like a drive-by. You know, we did a drive-by with France, as far as I can tell. Because, you know, before I get in over my head, which I think I already am. I mean, is there anything better than listening to somebody discuss foreign policy who doesn't even have the decency to watch the news? Whatever the fucking news is now. You know, I was reading this article in Rolling Stone. Oh, I read a little bit this week, believe it or not. I read this article in Rolling Stone about Facebook and the influence that it had on news, like inadvertently and all this shit. And how they allegedly have, like when you click on an advertisement on Facebook, like they turn some fucking camera on and they take a picture of your face and they try to read the expression of your face and try to gauge the level of joy that you have to determine which ads you're going to see. And the only thing creepier than that to me is people like, "Dude, what do I care? You know, if they're going to figure out like what I want to buy." Just as a fucking like human being, that doesn't freak you out that somewhere, you know, I know they're not sitting there looking at it. It's some fucking computer.
"Dude, it's a computer. It's not a person. It's an algorithm, dude."
I don't know. I just don't see that any of this going anywhere good. All right. And then they're going to like in this fucking unbelievably efficient way, get you to buy something else that you don't need. So then you got to throw something else out in your house that then ends up in that swirl of fucking trash. And it's just like, it just doesn't need to happen. So, I say that as I just clicked on something the other day about ready to buy yet another snare drum, and I'm not even in a band. I don't have any recording sessions coming up. I don't know. I've been trying to walk away from it, but I keep thinking about this snare drum, and I don't know. I think I'm part of the problem. Well, I can't remember what the fuck I was going to look up. Oh, why did we bomb Syria? This is how I learned about us. Okay, and I'm going to click on the first thing. The U.S. bombed to punish it for a chemical attack. That's what I thought. U.S. bombing Syria and Russia's response. You know, Russia is, in America, we act like we used to date. You know what I mean? So then when we had a bad breakup. No matter what they do, we're like, oh, he's like that. And then they do the same thing. Oh, my God, he's so stupid. I can't believe I wasted time getting to know that person during World War II. The United States, along with Britain. Oh, Britain was there, too. Jolly good show. And France bombed Syria. Does anybody in England ever say jolly good show? Huh? I've been to France like two or three times, and I've never heard anybody go, ho, ho, ho. All right, bombed Syria on Friday night. Friday night, you know, let's kick the weekend off right. Let's bomb Syria. The decision to strike came 1 week after Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. That's like a fucking number one draft pick name, like a wide receiver, except for the first name, you know? Like Tayshaun al-Assad. Dude, the guy ran like a fucking 4.140. We just signed him. I'm telling you right now. Guarantee it. Calling you right now. Put it on your fantasy team. He's going to get at least 1,500 fucking yards this season. All right. Use chemical weapons against civilians outside of Damascus. I believe that's the capital. Killing at least 42 adults and children. After that attack, President Donald Trump promised to exact a big price on the Assad regime. The U.S. and its allies deliberated a response over the following week. What are we going to do? We're going to, you want to firebomb economic sanctions? What do you say? 3 to 7 missiles, maybe? Including one on the outskirts of. Okay, and then on Friday night, the countries hit 3 targets, including one on the outskirts of Damascus, all related to Syria's chemical weapons program. A research center, our storage facility, and an equipment facility and command post. Wait, they said we hit 3 targets. They just listed 3. A 4, I mean. Research center, a storage facility, and an equipment facility and command post. Oh, I don't fucking know. The map of Syria shows the targets hit on Friday. The strikes hit at the very heart of Syria's chemical weapon program and dealt it a serious blow. All right. That's fucking weird, man. So we did that. And okay, and I guess that makes the world safer somehow. I have no fucking idea. I don't understand how it gets. But here's my question. All right, because God knows I don't fucking pay attention. What if Syria somehow poisoned our food supply? Or cooked our economy. You know? What the fuck would we do? Or started a heroin epidemic. In this country, what would we do to them? Why don't they do a drive-by on some of these fucking assholes who are allegedly American? They are American citizens. What the fuck they doing here? Is that ever going to happen? Fuck no. Because those cunts donate to the politicians' campaign funds. So everything they do, it's like it never happened. And then they also advertise on these so-called news networks, so they never talk about this shit, right? But if old Freckles goes down and tells the wrong Me Too joke, all of a sudden I get in trouble. This is the world we're living in. I'm going to keep asking questions. My voice will keep going up higher. You know what Syria's biggest problem is? It's not that they use chemical weapons. It's that they didn't buy advertising on CNN and Fox before they did it and donated to the standing president, be he a Democrat or a Republican. And I am saying he, because there's never been a who man as president. You know, and I'll tell you right now, as long as they keep bringing women around like fucking Hillary Clinton, I don't think it's ever going to happen. Okay, you got to have some level of warmth to you. You can't come out there with an Al Gore smile, with the fucking with the Mike Dukakis look on your face, thinking that you're actually going to win it. It has nothing to do with your policy. All right, you got to come out there. You got to look relaxed. You know, you got to. You look like you're comfortable. You can't look like you're in way over your fucking head. You know, having that look on your face like, do they like me? Do they really like me? I don't think there was anything more. Donald Trump's scowl was as terrifying as Hillary Clinton's, that maniacal fucking smile. Where it was just like, I can't imagine. Like, just imagine. Imagine you're hanging out with Hillary Clinton and you tell a joke and then she smiles the way she fucking smiled. You would just be like, oh my God, I think this person's going to bury an ice pick into the side of my neck. And then Trump, it would be over there all like, look with that look on his face. I still can't believe one of them won it. Or we came down to those two. But we did. But we did, and the comedy ensues. I mean, why am I talking about foreign policy for fucking 11 minutes? When you know what I did this weekend? I went to Charlotte, North Carolina. All right? And I went to the third installment of the Barstool Rough and Rowdy Tough Man competition. And I'll tell you right now, I don't think I've had that much fun at any fucking show business gig since I can remember. I want to thank David Portnoy and Dan Katz for letting me sit there and run my yap for four glorious hours over 40 fights. Dude, somebody would get knocked out and it was just like, get him out of here. And then someone else would go in. And every fight, there was a couple of boring ones. But other than that, every fight was great. And if it wasn't a great fight, it was a funny fight. Like when you'd get two fatties in there and eventually they would get gassed and the fight would just start going into slow motion. I don't know why I didn't think to start commentating in slow motion. Like slow my voice down. There's a left hook to the right side of his face. I literally could have talked that slow and kept up with the action. But all right, I got to give a shout out to the fight. There was three fights to me that maybe even more than that. My top five fights of the night, I would say. All right, in no particular order. All right, I would say the milkman. This dude went in, his whole promo, he was dressed as a milkman, drinking milk, and it was just like, what the fuck does that have to do with anything? And then he gets in the ring, proceeds to beat the shit out of the other guy, and the guy gets a standing eight count, if I remember correctly. Now, don't hold me to this. There was over 40 fights. And after the standing eight count, this dude came running across the ring like Tyson did in his early days when he threw that overhand right, like he was trying to throw somebody out at the plate from the warning track and hit that dude who looked like fucking Geese Osby from the Globetrotters. Like he literally thought he killed him. This dude did the same thing, ran across the room, except did the inexplicable. He threw an uppercut with no lead jab, nothing to set it up. I saw Buster Douglas do that one time. He led with an uppercut and got drilled in the face, and that was it. The night was over. I'll never forget this guy. He goes, you never lead with an uppercut. Well, the milkman proved that theory wrong. He ran across, he did a running uppercut, if I remember correctly, and just knocked this guy the fuck out. And then I understood why he was called the milkman, because the milkman always delivers. Isn't that a nice story? It was a great story. And in there was head trauma. Somewhere in that story, there was head trauma. All right. Then the dude who came in after the main event dressed as the Pink Power Ranger. This guy went in dressed as a Pink Power Ranger, 5 foot nothing, a pink onesie on with little red sneakers. Like the kind of sneakers that, you know, people who embrace being a nerd wear now, and for some reason they don't get the shit kicked out of them like they did when I was a kid. Instead, they get glorified. You know? his nerd power, whatever it is. So he goes in there dressed as the Pink Power Ranger and proceeds to take like 19 or 20 jabs to the fucking nose until he's bleeding. Just basically got his face reddened. He didn't get the shit kicked out of him, but he got fucking knocked around. So at the end of the fight, the post-interview fight, he's standing there with his nose fucking bleeding, just shy of profusely. And they're doing the interview. And they said, we got to ask, why did you come in dressed as the Pink Power Ranger? I'm sorry, I don't know the character's name. Why did you come in dressed as the Pink Power Ranger? And the guy, just with a straight face, just goes, because she's a badass bitch. I'd fuck her any day of the week. I don't know if the kid understood how funny, if he understood how funny what he just said was, the way he delivered it, I would say that that's the next great comedic mind in Hollywood. Because it was very Andy Kaufman. Stab your nose, bleeding. And the way he said, I'd fuck her any day of the week, he said it like the actress that plays that Pink Power Ranger would be thrilled with that opportunity. Like, oh my God, I could fuck this guy any day of the week? Well, the whole window of opportunity just opened. To the point I'm almost dizzy with my new options. The thrill ride against the Bavarian-Hungarian. The German versus the American, which all night long people were in the building chanting USA, USA. Anytime anybody came in, if you wore sweatpants, if you had on a sports bra or whatever the fuck you had, a bandana, anything that had Old Glory on it, people would start chanting USA, USA, even if the other opponent was also from the United States of America. Thrill Ride lost a unanimous decision. I thought it should have been a split decision. But he fought a great fight, and the German won. Just a fucking monster of a man. That was a great fight. And then lastly was the frat boy versus the blue collar kid. And, you know, you think the blue collar kid's going to fucking come in there just like a Hollywood movie and show this rich so-and-so, you know, what a fucking knuckle sandwich tastes like or whatever. And that's not what happened. The frat boy kicked the shit out of the guy. Like, the guy had no fucking answers. And then the frat boy threw a left, and he must have missed, and he separated his shoulder, it looked like. And then he grabbed his shoulder, he had it back up, and they got the video. He popped it back in himself like fucking Mel Gibson in Lethal Weapon. And he wanted to continue, but the ref was like, you can't continue. So then the blue-collar guy won. Yeah, I don't even think, I don't know if he even landed a punch. So in the post-fight, the frat boy is fucking pissed. He's got all his frat buddies there. And the blue-collar guy talked all this shit. Oh, yeah, you're bringing all your frat buddies? Well, they're not going to be in the ring to save you. It's just going to be you and me, and I'm going to kick the shit out of you. Well, the frat kid didn't need all his friends. He beat the fuck out of that guy. And the post-fight, they were interviewing the frat kid going, it's a tough loss. And the frat kid's going, I didn't lose. I beat the shit out of him. Which was true. And then the interviewer just kept going, yeah, but, you know, but you lost. Yeah, but you lost. He kept going, yeah, but you lost. And I saw at one point the frat kid consider punching the interviewer in the face. And I was actually nervous for the interviewer. Thank God the frat kid didn't do that. And then a special mention would be the guy who came in. He looked like an angry version of the lead singer from Maroon 5. And he came in and in the first round did not throw one punch, just put his gloves up on either side of his head. And we were like, what the fuck? This is like El Prez seemed like he was getting upset, you know, like when Dana White gets mad because someone doesn't put on a fight. The crowd was booing and all of this shit. And then he comes out for the second round and he kind of looked over in our general direction, but not quite at us, smiled and winked. And I said, oh shit, he's doing the rope-a-dope. He just let this guy rock him, sock him, and tire himself out. And then he went back out there and started doing the same thing again. And I'm like, what the fuck is he doing? But then eventually he started throwing punches. They're 3 1-minute rounds. And by the third round, you know, he'd thrown quite a few punches and landed quite a few. But still, I thought the other guy was a clear victory for him. And the judges came back and they gave it to the Maroon 5 guy. So there's a little bit of controversy. But anyways, when I was sitting there fucking ringside, about ready to announce boxing matches, you know, this is something that I actually, it's one point in my life, I wanted to be a sports announcer. And before I realized that it was a lot of work and I had no idea how to do it. So I just was like, well, I kind of get in trouble for making jokes. I'll just become a comedian. How about that? Well, I was sitting in that fucking ring, the Civic Center there, whatever the hell it was. And it looked like the crowd looked like an early 80s wrestling crowd. And when they all started chanting USA, USA, I was just like, this is so fucking surreal right now to be with this level of stupidity, to be sitting in the middle of this. This is the type of shit. And I'm not saying that I'm smarter than these people. All right. I just haven't been around that level of stupidity since I was the average age of the person in the crowd. And I would go to an event like that and I would chant USA, USA. Would you like my credits? I went to a live taping of Morton Downey Jr.'s show and was screaming and yelling and standing up and applauding. I saw Dice Clay in 88 at the Worcester Centrum, and with the crowd, we all tried to boo the opening act off stage. I booed another stand-up comedian before I was a comedian. And karma came back to bite me in the ass, you know, when I fucking did that Philly show. So I've been there. And to be in an event like that, a Tough Man event, when everybody was chanting USA, USA, was so fucking surreal. And I just pictured all these fucking, you know, all these liberal people fucking being disgusted with it. And it just struck me as really funny. And I don't know. It took me back. I haven't thought about, I actually had to look the guy's name up, unfortunately, Morton Downey Jr. I couldn't even remember his fucking name, which is another reason why I'm so happy I got married and had a kid. Because that guy was so goddamn famous and I was such a huge fan of his. And somewhere in the back of my closet, I still have a sweatshirt from that going to the Morton Downey Jr. show. I got that. This is what I did in the 80s. I went to that. I have a Budman hoodie. Do you remember when they used to have a superhero for Budweiser? I have that. And I have a Stevie Ray Vaughan tank top. I didn't get the t-shirt. I got the tank top because it was the 80s and I wanted to show off my pasty guns, you know, because nobody did squats. Everybody just did upper body in the 80s from the Instep tour. That's what I have left from the fucking 80s. But anyways, I can't remember where the fuck I was going with that, but it was amazing. And I want to go back to that venue and I want to do a stand-up show in the round, in the middle of it. That's how much I enjoyed performing there. Actually announcing that's how much I enjoyed the arena. So I want to thank everybody that came out. Once again, thanks to everybody at Barstool. If they'll have me again, I would absolutely, in a heartbeat, I would do it again, because that was just my first one. And I think I was funny, but I think I could be a lot funnier. I just had to. It was just a lot of shit to take in. It's like, what do I do here? Do I actually announce the fight? I don't know shit about fighting, right? Do I just try to be funny? And then I also had to figure out how, you know, Dan and Dave worked so I wouldn't be in the fucking way. So I thought towards the end got funnier. So we'll see. We'll see if I get another shot, I would definitely do it. And you guys, you got to fight, you know. I want to thank everybody that ordered it too, because I think they... I think that was their best one as far as what I heard. Anyways, let me read a little bit of advertising here. DollarShaveClub.com, everybody. Oh, get rid of all the junk that's lying around your bathroom, you fucking lunatic. Give it the cleaning it deserves. And then freshen up with high-quality products from Dollar Shave Club. Dollar Shave Club members, you know what you can get?
Hey, what can I get, man?
Well, you can get everything you need delivered right to your fucking door. Dollar Shave Club has razors, shave butter, shampoo for your pubes, body wash, toothpaste, everything you need to look, smell, and feel your best. You'll get an amazing high-quality shave every morning using Dollar Shave Club's executive razor. Now, Dr. Cavi's Easy Shave Butter goes on clear so you can see where you're shaving. Can somebody please explain that detail to me? It goes on clear, so it's see-through, so you can somehow see where you're shaving. Maybe it's shiny. Does it glisten? Anyways, and since Dollar Shave Club delivers everything to you, you don't have to set foot in a store wandering the aisles, hunting for razors, getting caught looking at some soccer mom's tits. You don't got to look for shampoo, what aisle's the body wash in, where the hell's the toothpaste. You can take all of that and throw it away. None of it. Clean up your bathroom and your morning routine with Dollar Shave Club's Daily Essential Status Set. For just $5 with free shipping, you'll get the 6-blade executive razor plus trial sizes of their shave body cleanser and one wipe. Chari. Oh, Chari. Then keep the blades coming for a few bucks a month. Speaking of next month, for a limited time only, use code BURR, B-U-R-R, at the checkout to get $5 off your second month of the club. That's code BURR at dollarshaveclub.com to save $5 off your second month. Join the club today there. And lastly, but not leastly, our old friends, the cornerstone of the advertising here on the podcast, stamps.com. Stamps.com saves you time and money, which you can use to grow your business. I can mail any letter, any package using just my computer and my printer, and the mail carrier picks it up. They switched that from mailman. Used to be a mailman, and I'm sure some woman who walks the beat or drives a Jeep bitched. Hey, I'm out there too, just to let you know. Sorry, sweetheart. I'm not your sweetheart. Whatever the fuck I have to say to end the conversation, sugar tits. The mail carrier, patient number one, picks up everything from postcards to envelopes to packages, domestic or international. Create your stamps.com account in minutes online with no equipment to lease and no long-term commitments. Click, print, mail, and you're done. That's it. Oh, it's so convenient. Good Lord, is it easy? You know, it's reliable and, dare I say, efficient. I used all the adjectives they wanted me to use. Stamps.com will even help you decide out of the fucking blue the best class of mail based on your needs. I use Stamps.com whenever I send out my poster, which, by the way, I'm taking the photo today for my tour, which is simply called 50. You know why? Because I'm a rap fan. No, because I'm turning 50 in June. I'm going to send out all my posters. I use stamps.com when I do it. I am a moron. If I can do it, so can you. All right? I don't care how many math classes you flunked like me. There's no math involved. And right now, you too can enjoy. You just take the thing. You put it on the scale. It figures out what it weighs. Then you type in your stupid the zip code it's going to, and magically it gives you the answer. It's like sitting next to a smart kid that's not covering up his fucking test. And right now, you too can enjoy the Stamps.com service with a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus postage and a digital scale. Go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in BURR. That's Stamps.com, enter BURR. Do you remember when you try to look at some smart kid's fucking test and he'd cover it up? You know? And you'd get mad at him because they did the fucking work. I don't know where I stand with that. I used to hate it when I was in school. But now when I think about it, the fact that that person did the work, and then I just want to show up. At the very least, I could have offered the kid something like, hey, I'll buy an extra bag of chips at lunch or some shit. You know what I mean? Or whatever the fuck you want. Whatever they used to sell there, right? All the junk food. That's all they had was junk food. They had a shitty meal, and then it was like cookies, potato chips, just a bunch of shit. And I remember, like, for lunch sometimes, if I didn't like the lunch, I would just take my lunch money and I would buy all junk food. And people would say, dude, you're going to get a bunch of zits if you eat like that. And I was like, I don't think I'm going to. You know, what am I going to do, have an apple and then get bullied? He's eating an apple, you know. Insert homophobic shit after that. All right, let's talk some sports here. Now, I know this is a weird time. For most people in most cities, your hockey team and your basketball team are done for the year. And now you're looking at your baseball team. But when you live in the city of champions, or at least you were from there, and nobody won a championship until you left, like me. Well, the Celtics did. And the Bruins won too when I was a little kid, and I don't remember. Although I did have this little Bobby Orr sweatshirt. My mother saves everything. I got to find that thing. Oh, my God, that would be great. Find that thing. Put it on my cute little daughter. Take a picture. Oh, God, I got to find that. Anyways, if you live in the city of champions, not only did your basketball team with 17 championships win it, your hockey team with 6 Stanley Cups also won it. Well, I mean, made it to the playoffs. Let's start with the Boston Bruins. They're up 2-0 against the original 6 Toronto Maple Leafs, who are trying desperately to end a 51-year drought. I am a fan of the Toronto Maple Leafs. If the Toronto Maple Leafs get by us, I will root for them. Okay? I would like the suffering to end in Toronto. All right? I would also like us to beat them. I want us to beat them first. However, if they do beat us, then that will be my team. All right? Having said that, you got your asses whipped in the first 2 games of this series. I mean, just, it was easy. I mean, I'm not going to say it was. The first 2 periods of game 2 were a little scary. And period 1 of the first game, you know, that 51 when he did that fucking slap shot from the fucking blue line, that laser that hit the crossbar, I was thinking, like, this game can turn at any second. And I kind of felt that way for a lot of the second game. It just never did, because we have a guy named David Pastrnak on our team who's, I would say at this point, is just shy of becoming a superstar. The guy's got 9 points in 2 games. He's making it so ridiculously easy. He fucking scored the last goal. He put the puck between his legs like he was fucking around before the game. Right? There should have been Globetrotter music. That's the second Globetrotter fucking reference in the same podcast within a half hour, 31 minutes, 32 minutes, excuse me. You find another podcast out there that's going to bring up Geese Osby and then swing, then fucking in a falsetto voice, can't even talk right now, sing Sweet Georgia Brown. Huh? You tell me. You tell me, you show me a podcast that does that, and I will show you a more successful podcast than this one. 9 points. That whole fucking line, fucking Bergeron, Marchand, Pastrnak, and we're playing great defense. Tuukka's been, you know, making some incredible saves. You can tell right now that I haven't watched a lot of games this year. All I know is that the front office of the Boston Bruins has not gotten the credit they deserve for the incredible rebuild that they did to this team. They got rid of everybody. Oh, look who's here.
Hey,
hi. What?
I have a doctor's appointment at
10.
I leave at
9. Oh, okay. Oh, so then what? I have to watch my beautiful little baby girl? Oh, boo-hoo. Oh, poor me.
Yeah, okay. Come on.
All right. No worries. Yeah. All right, buddy. All right. Anyways. Okay, bye-bye. I just got to wait till she leaves so I don't say any bad words in front of her. Anyway, so the fucking Bruins. We got rid of, like, the whole fucking team, basically. Other than Chara, Marchand, and Bergeron, essentially. As far as our big stars, we got rid of Johnny Boychuk, Milan Lucic, Tyler Seguin, Dougie Hamilton, Tim Thomas. We even got rid of the coach, Claude Julien. We got rid of everybody. And I was thinking, like, wow, all right. I tried to put a positive, you know, spin on it. I like watching a rebuild and all of that stuff, which I was. I watched them all this time until this year when it all came together, you know, but I have a good excuse, you know, got the kid. What am I supposed to do, huh? Not go out there and play with my kid? Of course I got to do that. But I don't know. We're like really young. We're really fast. And then we still have some veterans. And then we got some other guys that have, you know, we got some like guys that have been playing like 6-7 years. It's just this great mix. And then all these young kids that are just flying around the fucking ice. And I don't know what we're going to do this year in the playoffs. It's looking good so far, but I am liking the future. And speaking of the future, the Boston Celtics, that's what you're watching that's out on the court because everybody's fucking hurt. Kyrie Irving's out. Marcus Smart's out. And you know what? I totally forgot about that. Gordon Hayward kid played fucking half a quarter this year. He's coming back next year. So I'm just watching the Celtics this year to see, like, as far as the playoffs, to see, like, Tatum, Rozier, Jaylen Brown, all of these guys getting all this just quality minutes in the playoffs. It's just going to help us in the future. And, you know, I don't think that we were going to get by Cleveland or even Toronto. Toronto looks unbelievable. But my favorite thing in the NBA playoffs right now is the name of the Milwaukee Bucks coach, Joe Prunty. I swear to God, every time they say it, it's like, did they just say cunty? And I don't know why, but if there was a drinking game that every time they said Joe Prunty in the broadcast that I watched, I would have been shit-faced by the end of the first quarter. Joe Prunty. I guess what's his face? I can't remember his fucking name either. Jason Kidd. I don't know what happened to him. He was there. I don't know why he's not there. And it's going to be great to watch. I don't know how many games against the Bucks and Giannis Antetokounmpo. Antetokounmpo. Is that how you say? Antetokounmpo. Let me get the proper pronunciation of that. That was a fucking great game. I mean, it's you can't, as a Celtics fan, not be disappointed when you're watching it, seeing all our big guns on the bench, being like, we would be kicking the shit out of this fucking team if everybody was healthy. Giannis Antetokounmpo. Let me see how you say this guy's fucking name. Pronunciation. What a show. Pronunciation. Here we go. All right. Oh, Giannis himself is going to explain. Here we go. Come on. Oh, my internet sucks.
In the Nigerian way, you got to say with a D. So it's Antetokounmpo. But in the Greek way, you say with an NT, like Antetokounmpo. So I changed myself. Like, I don't think there's a way you got to say the last name. Whatever you got, just say, you know, it's Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Giannis Antetokounmpo. Giannis Antetokounmpo. Antetokounmpo. You can say it with the T or the D. You got to love that the guy has that difficult last name. He's like, hey, I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit. I'm just going to be dominating the game. That's another thing, too, is I get to watch this guy for a number of games, too, who I think he might be the next one. You know, once LeBron, if LeBron ever gets old, I would say this guy's going to be the next one. It's going to be, maybe it'll be Kevin Durant and then him, as far as, like, the best guy in the league. And I'm saying that having... Not really. I don't really know shit about hoop. You know, what the fuck? Why do you guys listen to this? I don't know shit about boxing. I'm commentating about it. I don't know shit about foreign policy, yet I'm talking about that. Asking why we're not having missile strikes on corporations. All right. Hippie music. Let's do some reads here for the week. We're going to do a couple of reads here for the week. Oh, by the way, I have to admit, I got to become Jimmy Swaggart here, Billy Swaggart. As far as my, remember I said I was going to be vice free 16 days. And actually the final 2 days in March is when I started this, but I said I was going to be vice free. I got to go a little Jimmy Swaggart here. I have sinned against you. I fucked up Saturday night. I went out with my lady and we went out to go see some live music at this little club / dive bar that we really love going to. And we went there and he was like, come on, man, you're not going to have a drink. You're not going to have a drink. And I'm like, nah, you know, I told my podcast listeners I was going to blah, blah, blah. She's like, come on, you have one fucking drink. I said, fine. You want me to have a fucking... I was really annoyed with her because I realized how weak I was. You want me to have a fucking drink? I have a fucking drink, right? So I ordered some food, and then I ordered a club soda with the lime. And then I was just like, if she doesn't bring up having a drink again, I'm not going to order one. All right? I don't want to throw away all these days, right? So she finally just goes, look, can you at least just have a hit of weed? or something like that. I was like, I don't fucking like weed or whatever. And she just, and I just finally said, fuck it, I'll do it. So I went outside the place and I took 4 hits off of this fucking joint. And I hate weed. I just don't fucking like it. And I go inside, and what happens every time I smoke weed is I just get sleepy and I want to go to bed. So I'm watching this amazing band, incredibly musicians, and they could also sing too, which is a plus. They sounded like you were listening to a record. They were so good. And they ended up doing a cover of Led Zeppelin, Since I've Been Loving You. That Led Zeppelin would have been proud of. And I'm sitting there in the corner of the bar being like, hey, man, I just want to go to bed, man. Like, you know, I think my pillow's like my best friend, man. And I just, you know, so I blew it. But you know what? I didn't drink. And yesterday was the big test, because now that I fucked up the whole month, I feel I'm just like, well, now what? So now do I drink? So last night I was thinking, well, I might as well have a fucking drink because I blew it. And I said, ah, don't be a pussy. You had a couple of hits of fucking weed. You didn't enjoy it. And you came home and you went to bed. So whatever. I hit one hurdle. All right, I've jumped over all the other ones, and I'm going to keep going. Plus, I was also sober for the last 2 days of March. So, but I still didn't make a month then. I basically made, what was that, 2 days ago, 14. I went 16 days. I don't give a shit. I'm going to keep fucking going. So whatever. I blew it. I blew it, man. I gave in to peer pressure from my wife. You know, she always ends up knocking me off the wagon, though. I remember one time I went a year and 2 days without booze, and we were in Norway at this fancy fucking restaurant and had like a 12-course meal. All these little bites kept coming out, and I was just laughing, going, we're never going to get full. And by the eighth one, I was like, wow, I think I'm going to puke, and they just kept coming. And then in the end, they came out with this cheese plate for dessert. That's when you know you're at a ritzy fucking place in another country. Dessert is cheese. It's like, you eat cheese for dessert? Really? And it was this pungent, stings the nostrils, Anchorman level fucking cologne, but it was cheese. And Nia took one bite, was like, I can't fucking, no way. So I started taking giant bites out of it. And she was going, cut it out, don't, you're going to get sick. And my eyes were watering. My nose was running, but her reaction, how concerned she was for me, was making me laugh so hard that I ate the whole fucking cheese plate, and it was fucking disgusting. But in that meal, she knocked me off the wagon. She's done it to me a number of times. What I'm trying to say is that I'm Sid and she's Nancy, but I won't kill her someday. So anyways, but I have to admit that I really like, you know, the mornings are the best. I wake up, I feel good, I work out, you know, and just 4 hits of weed. The next morning I woke up, I felt like shit. I just felt like I needed to squeegee my goddamn brain. So, I don't know, maybe she reminded me why I'm doing this. So I think I'm going to do this right through to my birthday, and then I'm going to be on vacation, everybody. I'm doing a show in Dublin, Ireland, and then I'm doing, Royal Albert Hall, in which I can't believe, in London, England, and then I'm on vacation. And for the next 10 days or whatever, if I want to drink, I'm going to drink. If I want to smoke a cigar here or there, I'm going to do that. And then when I come back, I think I'm going to jump right back on the wagon. I'm going to try. That's what I'm going to try to do, because I'm eating well and I'm keeping the weight off. And who's kidding who? I became a dad real late in life, and I'd like to be around. So I got to shut down the potty a little bit, right? That's another great thing about having a kid. If I didn't have a kid, I probably would have shaved a good 15 years off my life. Oh, but what a fun time I would have. All right, let's read some of the music. Oh, hippie music. That's why I said music. Some of the questions here for this week. By the way, did anybody see the Andre the Giant? Speaking of civics, the Andre the Giant documentary. You got to check it out. You got to check that out. My favorite part was, I guess, in the locker room. The only thing they allowed in the locker room were wrestlers and the referees. No one else was allowed in there. And Andre would always be in there playing cards. And what I loved was at one, they actually had footage of somebody walking in there with the camera and Andre the Giant standing up just going, "Get the fuck out of here." You know, goddamn Bigfoot. That's when he had the fro. And he stood up and the person just ran out with the camera. That was my favorite fucking part. Seeing a giant angry. Usually it's a gentle giant, but actually seeing him fucking upset. Oh God, I fucking yawned. Sorry. All right, guys, sorry about that. I'm supposed to fucking liven up your week, not make you want to put your head down at your desk. All right, Hippie Music Blind Spot follow-up. Not original writer. A, Billy Red Tits. Saw your first Cincinnati show with two friends last Saturday. You absolutely killed Prime Burr. This is why you're the greatest living comedian. Oh, well, isn't that nice? And he said, okay, let me take your dick out of my mouth. Why do guys always feel like, you know, they get all fucking homophobic out if they compliment another man? They always have to say, hey, man, yeah, that's a nice shirt. No homo. It's just like, well, dude, I've known you for 20 years. I would think if you would have fucking made a move at this point. You know, you could just say nice shirt. As per the most recent Monday morning podcast, I'm writing to second John Fishman of Fish. As a drummer, you need to pay attention to. You asked for starter. All right, this is it. I'm going to fucking get into Fish. You asked for starter albums. I submit a live release. You should start with live double album, a live one, or studio circa 1993 Rift. Rift is my favorite album. It's a concept album. Oh, all right. You know what I'm doing right now? I'm going to download it right now so I don't forget. All right. Here we go. iTunes Store. I'm old. I know you guys all use a cooler fucking downloading site. All right. Fish with a PH. RIFT. Let's see if I can get it. Where is it? Rift. $9.99. Bam. Clicked. Buy. Downloading. All right. There we go. I took your advice. All right, A Picture of Nectar is another good one. Would be my second favorite. Covers all genres, including jazz, country, calypso, rock and roll, and neo psychedelia. Man, according to Wikipedia, I can't listen to psychedelic music because there's a small part of me that really wants to try mushrooms. And when I listen to that music, I always think like, how much more intense would this be if I felt like I could hold my brain in my hand? Name for Nectar. You know what? But I'll never do psychedelics because you have to be home when you do it. But now I got a kid, so I can't be tripping with a kid. Can't do that. That's when social services comes by and takes your fucking kid. Name for Nectar's Bar in Burlington, Vermont. That's what the album's named after, where they were the house band starting off their careers. Anyway, love your shit and psyched to hear your thoughts on John Fishman, Fish drumming. To me, they belong in music history books, but would love to get Billy Rowdy Red's take on it. Signed, from Kentucky. All right, cool. Oh, I already love the title of this one here. Why I Need an AR-15. All right, all you Hollywood liberals, listen up. I ask people in the middle of the country or just outside of Los Angeles, which a lot of people in LA, specifically Hollywood, consider in the middle of fucking nowhere, right? Until they have a movie premiere, and then they go down there. We love you from Bakersfield. Okay, why I need an AR-15. I just listened to you talk about not knowing why anyone would need an AR-15. I didn't say that in an insulting way, you country fuck. All right? I'm just saying, you know what I mean? If like, you know, for home defense, it's just funny to me. It's just like, how much of an asshole are you that you need an AR-15 for home defense that basically, on it, you're such a cunt that on any given night, that fucking hit squad from at the end of Scarface is going to come over your fucking fence that you need to mow them down. You need basically, you know, a fucking bazooka. Anyways, the reason I need an AR-15 is because I have a small flock of sheep and I live in coyote country. Coyotes, you live in Phoenix? Coyotes won't really harm an animal as big as a cow, but sheep or goats are fair game to them. When coyotes attack in packs, they tend to attack in groups of 7 to 12 individuals. Jesus Christ. Where the fuck do you live? We have coyotes out here. They're usually in packs of twos. Even though I am, that's because they're all on some Hollywood diet. Most of them die of anorexia. So there's just packs of twos. Even though I am a fairly good shot, trying to hit a moving target without hitting my sheep means that I might miss several times. I need the magazine capacity of the AR-15 or a similar gun because I only have 4 milking ewes. Is that how you say it? Ewes? What is a ute? E-W-E-S. Ah, Jesus fucking Christ. I mean, this is an easy one. But I'm not a farmer, man. Ewes. Pronunciation. What a show. Pronunciation. Here we go. All right, here we go. Here's how you say it. Come on.
You. You. You.
Did he need to do it 3 times? How fucking dumb am I?
You.
How do you say it?
You.
Yai?
You.
Oh, you. All right, you. 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 He did a subtle different read on the second one. You. You. Oh, God, what's happening now?
Sounds like I'm hungry.
Oh, 50 word mistakes.
Hello, and welcome back. In this lesson, I will show you 50 words that you are probably pronouncing
you
correctly right now. And I'll also teach you how to say them correctly.
Oh, I thought you were just going to say how to say them wrong.
How do you say it? Well, we say pronounce, pronounced, and pronouncing, but pronunciation. There's no noun in this word. It's pronunciation.
Nobody says pronunciation, you fucking clickbait cunt. Cat. There's no og in there. It's cat. All right, why I need an AR-15. Okay, so these coyotes come down in packs of 7 to 12. Oh, my God, and his ewes. 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 Are fucking running around. Yeah, yeah. I mean, what a fucking exciting morning. Jesus Christ, that's like the ultimate video game. So then you fucking blow these things away, and then what do you feed them to the pigs? I mean, that is, you know, these fucking assholes CrossFit running down the fucking street like they're doing something. This guy is inside watching Deputy Dog, you know, right? And all of a sudden, he hears one of his ewes going, "Hey, man! Right?" And then he's got to come out there with this fucking machine gun. Get some, get some, get some. I'll tell you this right now. If I could fucking rent a helicopter big enough and we could open a door and you could fucking shoot them from up there, I would fly you around your own property, sir, while you did this with your fucking AR-15. Anyways, I need a magazine capacity of the AR-15 or similar gun because I only have 4 milking ewes. 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 And I produce feta and Parmesan cheese. What a good shit! I love both those cheeses. Thank you for producing that so I can eat it. If I lose a single ewe, that represents a significant percentage of my income for the year. That's, you know, all these Hollywood liberals, I swear to God, if you stole their fucking yoga mat or threatened to cut off their fucking man bun, I bet every one of them get a fucking AR-15. But they put pink bullets in it. My sheepdog can hold the coyotes off for a little while, but not forever. That dog's got heart, huh? Holding off 12 fucking coyotes. That's like when Magic Johnson played every position. Other farmers in more western states need the AR-15 to protect from mountain lions or wolves. So when someone said no one needs an AR-15, I guess they think that I'm nobody. Oh, you're a somebody. You make the cheese. Why did you have to go that route? You proved your point, and now you're trying to make everybody feel bad for you. Oh, I am somebody. This is hilarious. This is like self-help. I guess they think that I'm nobody. I am somebody. And I have a legitimate need for an AR-15. Oh, let's clap a round of applause. That was just textbook. Huh? What's he supposed to do? Let those ewes get killed? And then little kids can't put Parmesan cheese on their fucking rigatoni? God bless you, sir. God bless you, your AR-15, and the wonderful cheese you make. What do you do with all the dead coyotes? Huh? Man, this guy, man, that's fucking living out there. I mean, the first one yelped when you fucking shot it. I would feel like an asshole. However, though, I would know good and goddamn well that if I didn't make the cheese, then I would be living outside. Next thing you know, those pack of 7 to 12 would be coming at me, right? Going to take a fucking bite out of my flat fucking freckled pasty behind. Can't have that. Good for you, sir. I'm glad they've invented a weapon so you can keep making the cheese and you can afford to keep, you know, paying the banker cunts. God bless you. I'm convinced. All right, girl, that's a great fucking argument. That argument is nowhere. You know what it is smart people never take surveys. They never get on TV. So all you get is these moron gun owners going like, well, what if the government were all of a sudden not to be nice to me and I needed to fight them off with their F-16s and their tanks? I need it for home protection. Girl at bar used my phone to Venmo herself $300. Now, I don't know what Venmo is, but this guy basically explains it. Dear Billy Bass on the wall. The other night, I was at this bar with a few buddies, and we started talking to this group of girls. I was hitting on this one girl, and we talked for a little more than an hour. Her friends then said they were leaving, and so before she left, I asked if I could have her number. She said yes, and she asked for my phone to put in her number, or so I thought. Uh-oh. While she was putting in her number, I wasn't really paying attention and started talking to my buddy. Next thing I know, she's handing back the phone and saying goodbye. I told her I'll text her later this week and try and set something up. Well, the next day I went to look for her number and I couldn't find it. I searched and searched, but the number was not in my phone. I was a little disappointed, but stuff like that happens all the time. See, this is why this guy gets laid. He shakes it off. That's right. What the fuck are you going to do? Take another swing, right? A few days later, I went to Venmo a coworker money for lunch, and in my recent transactions, I see a $300 payment made to that girl from the bar. Well, now you got her contact info. Hey, lady, this is what's going to happen. Either you're going to fuck me, or I'm going to get my $300 back. By the way, you're paying for dinner with my money. That bitch took my phone and Venmo'd herself $300 while pretending to give me her phone number. I got to be honest with you. If that was her plan the entire night, and she was nice enough to make you then ask for her phone number, I mean, that's fucking amazing. It's disgusting, but it's amazing. He said, I, of course, was furious and immediately thought of reporting her to the police and to the people who work at Venmo. But I thought nothing will get resolved because how can I prove I didn't send her the money? Easily, tell your story. Right? You got to do something. He said, I think you got to do something. Anyways, he goes, also, I kind of respect the move. It's a piece of shit move, but pretty clever. It is pretty goddamn clever. What would you do in this situation? I'd probably just eat the $300. Take it as a life lesson. I never like go after people. I just don't. I don't do it. I'm just like, well, I learned a fucking lesson. I won't do that again. He said, I could try and get the money back, but do you think the effort and the hassle outweighs the reward? I think you should do it because it's actually a crime. She stole money from you. And, I don't know. Or you just let her keep doing it, and then one day she gets caught and she fucking goes to jail because she's probably not going to stop at this. I would say, you know something? Considering this whole fucking new movement of just trashing guys all the time and always making women out to be the victim, it'd be nice a little publicity out there that, you know, women have the ability to also be pieces of shit. So, let's even it out a little bit. I would go after her. Fuck it. He said, $300 isn't going to make or break me, but I do need to stand up for guys who wouldn't be able to pay their rent if a girl did it to them, right? Any advice helps, and go fuck yourself. Yeah, I'd go after her. At the very least, you know, even if you don't get your money back, just to fucking... It's good that you got that information out there. So there you go, fellas. When somebody says, I'll put my number in your phone, but you don't want to say, don't do that, because then they might be like, well, I'm not going to fucking give it to you. Well, you don't trust me? Fucking relationship's built on trust. I would use this guy's story. I would just say, well, the last time I did this, the woman took my phone and Venmoed herself $300 out of my account. So I'm just a little paranoid. So what? Women give you their number all the time? Yeah, they do. Are you going to give me my number, or am I just going to go home and jerk off? Whatever. I don't know. You guys figure it out. I'm not in this world anymore. All right? I go to bed at like 9:30 every night now. Roommate smokes weed. Hi, Bill. I really like your podcast and really enjoyed your show in the Taft Theater last Saturday. Jeez, I must have had good shows in Cincy. That's twice in three letters. First time I saw a live show, and it was fantastic. I have a problem now. I'm in college, and my roommate and I live on campus. Well, that doesn't sound like a problem. That sounds like it's fucking time of your life. We have our own bedroom. And we have our own bedrooms. And we don't talk very often. I'm okay with that. The problem is he might smoke weed sometimes in the apartment. He mentioned he smokes weed the first day we moved in. I never smoke weed, and I don't know what it smells like. But the smells that came out of his room is not a cigarette. I'm 100% sure. Yeah, buddy, that's weed. The semester is almost over. Should I bring it up with him? Nah, just get a new roommate. He said it kind of bothered me with the smell. We only talked once when we moved in. I don't know what to do. It's against the rule on campus. Should I talk to the RA? Abso-fucking-lutely not. Not, dude. Don't talk to the RA. RA is one letter short of rat, and that's what the fuck you would be. Don't rat him out. Really like your comedy, and I think I'm the only Asian dude that went to your show. Thank you, and go fuck yourself. Well, thank you for showing up, and bring some of your Asian friends with me. I mean, with you, to see my show. Unless you're the only Asian in Cincinnati. I have no idea. I don't know what goes on. I don't do a census. I wouldn't rat him out. If you're really concerned about the RA, I would just say, hey, buddy, I don't give a shit that you smoke weed. Actually, I do care that you smoke weed, but I'm not a rat, so I'm not going to say anything to the RA. But it is illegal, and I'm concerned that how much I can smell it, the RA is going to smell it, and then I'm going to get in trouble too. All right, can you do a better job of blowing it out the window or stick a thicker towel underneath the door? All right, that's it. I swear to God, I won't talk to you again. Man, that sucks, man. You guys don't even talk to each other? So the first day you came there and you were just like, I don't smoke weed, and this guy's just like, well, I'm fucking done with you. Everybody thinks pot smokers are cool. I don't know. This guy sounds like a cunt. Neighbor drove through my fence. Hey, Billy Belligerent. The title sums up this email, but I feel like I'm in a bit of a situation. I recently moved back into my childhood home after being away for about 4 years. Unfortunately, my dad passed away. Sorry to hear that. But he left me the house that he paid off in full. Nice. How the hell did he do that? Usually they hit you with so many penalties and fees that you have to put the house back into play. He said the house itself is in disrepair. Oh, well, there you go. Leaky roof, bad septic lines, etc. So I already have a lot to take care of in the coming months. Yesterday, my neighbor and childhood friend got shit-faced and drove his new truck through my fence. And God, this is some fucking redneck shit. And got into the giant oak tree in my front yard. The fence is wire, so it was salvageable. I need to go to that pronunciation video. Salvageable. There it is. But I was still pissed. My other neighbor has security footage of the whole event. Dude, is everybody filming everybody now? Can you get away with anything? Including the hilarious moment when he tried to pull it back. The fence, and fell on his ass. Against all my neighbor's advice, I didn't end up pressing charges. although my brother, who lives with me as well, did file a police report, which is now on the drunk neighbor's record. My question is, did I do the right thing by not pressing charges and sending him to jail? Well, how would you send him to jail? I mean, by the time you got the footage, he would be sober, and he could just say, ah, you know, I was looking down at my phone. My back itched, and I took my hand off the wheel. I more or less cut ties with this guy because he's a volatile person, as evidenced by this whole situation. He has two young children, one and three, I think, recently lost his job and has a lot to deal with. So I didn't want to fuck him over even more. And he did actually fix my fence when he sobered up. However, I don't think this will be the last time something stupid like this happens. Should I have sent his ass to jail, or did I do the right thing? I mean, I wouldn't have said anything. The fact that he got up the next day and he tried to fucking fix the fence. I would talk to him about it. Say, hey, listen, man, you know, I don't want to get into your business or anything like that, but I love getting shit-faced too. But if there's any way you could Uber next time, you know, because if I was walking up the driveway, you know, you would have run over me, you know. I don't mind getting hammered or whatever, but that level of hammered and then to drive is a little fucking crazy. How's everything going with the job hunting? Ask him a couple of nice fucking questions and say, listen, I really appreciate that the next day you woke up, you did the right thing and you fixed the fence. All right. Now that's what I would say to him. Okay. And then on the other hand, I think the fence issue, you need to look no further than the story of the three little pigs. All right. The wolf went to the first house. Little pig, let me in. And the pig goes, yeah, I don't feel comfortable with that dude. And he said, all right, well, then I'm just going to blow this piece of shit fucking house over. And that's exactly what he did. But he's a little lightheaded, and the pig gets away. He runs over to the fucking, his other brother's house, you know, who actually went to college, you know, but just got a degree in philosophy. So all he could afford was a house made out of sticks. The wolf shows up. He's like, hey, you little fatty. Open this door. What a little pig, let me in. And then the pig goes, yeah, man, you know, my other brother, you know, who took shop class, he just blew his fucking house down. He took shop class, but for somehow he lives in a fucking house made out of hay. I'm not fucking doing this. So he blows that one down. And then they go to his, you know, the guy who majored in finance and stole a bunch of fucking money. He's got a brick house. He's got a brick. Ow. He's mighty fat, fucking over old people. You need to put up a brick wall. Oh man, that would piss him off. Somebody did that, and then the next day you put up a fucking brick wall. And then if he gives you shit, just put your hands out like, what? You drove through the other one. You're gonna fucking run me over one night or hit this poor tree. What about the tree? The tree can't sue you. It's a victim of fucking drinking and driving. It can't take you to court. It can file a complaint, but it can't get there. It's stuck in the ground. Then you got a little brick wall between the two of you. Hey, buddy, if you weren't such a fucking drunk, you know, I wouldn't have to do this. Other than that, what are you going to do? I would have my head on a swivel, though, when I got into my fucking driveway. This is the deal. I would just tell the guy, just say, listen, man, I don't want to call the cops. I don't want to do any shit like that. All right. But if it happens again, I'm going to have to, because you're going to kill somebody. All right. Please don't put me in that position. That's what I would say. And then I would build a brick wall. Although I think I would deal with my septic tank first, but you know what? You can't take a shit if you're dead. You know what? I'm going to make you put the priorities up there. You're going to roll the dice that this fucking crazy motherfucker and his truck's going to come over there, drive through your fucking wire fence. I think you need an AR-15 to shoot out his fucking tires as he comes towards your oak tree. Why don't you talk to the fucking cheese farmer? How cool is that? That guy, he owns a farm and he makes cheese. You know what I mean? So rare do you meet somebody that actually has a job now that it's like, wow, we really need that. We need that guy. Do we need you making another fucking app that can have some whore steal $300 from you? Oh, it's so easy and convenient that someone that you don't even know can just send them fucking money. Hey, wouldn't you have her number from the transaction? I'd call her up. Give me my $300 back, you fucking thieving whore, before I call the cops. I'd get my $300 back, and then I would call the cops. There you go. That's what I would do with her. The fence thing, I'm all right with that. But I would tell him not to do it again. All right? Okay, that's the podcast. Have a great couple of days. You go fuck yourselves, and I'll check in on you on Thursday.